in 1969, working until her final appearance in a 2003 episode of The West Wing. She died Wednesday from complications of dementia at the age of 80. And for USA Radio News, I'm Chris Barnes.
Hi, I'm Jeannie Murphy, host of Talented People Radio, produced by Mariah Media. Our show is fun, and we specialize on interviewing some of the most awesome people from around the world. Tune in and watch our live stream on Facebook, and don't forget to subscribe to our YouTube channel so that you can watch past episodes. Talented People airs every Wednesday from 3 to 4 p.m. Join us for some fun.
Counselor, as your host, you will learn about many facets of good mental health. Let's remove the stigma. Go to www.altarolcounselor.net for more information about my practice. And please follow me on Counselor's Chat on Facebook. Remember, Counselor's Chat every Wednesday at noon. I wish you good mental health.
The Hunterdon County Weather Report for today begins with sunny skies and a high near 34. Northwesterly winds between 13 and 15 miles per hour. Tonight, mostly clear skies and a low around 13 degrees. Northwesterly winds between 5 and 9 miles per hour, becoming light and westerly after midnight. Saturday, partly sunny skies, a high near 32, and light north winds. Saturday night, snow, likely after 8 p.m., cloudy with a low around 24 and calm winds. The chance of precipitation is 60% and new snow accumulation of less than a half an inch is possible. On Sunday, snow is likely again, mainly before 8 a.m., mostly cloudy skies and a high near 32. Calm winds will become northeasterly between 5 and 9 miles per hour in the morning. The chance of precipitation is 60%, and again, new snow accumulation of less than a half an inch is possible. Sunday night, partly cloudy skies and a low around 19. The weather forecast for the Hunterdon County area today, January 25th. Begins with mostly sunny skies and a high near 36 degrees. West winds between 8 and 14 miles per hour, and tonight mostly clear skies with a low around 16. Westerly winds between 3 and 7 miles per hour. Saturday, mostly cloudy skies and a high near 30. Southwesterly winds will be between 3 and 6 miles per hour. On Saturday evening, mostly cloudy skies, a low around 21, and light southeasterly winds. On Sunday, a slight chance of rain and snow showers before 1 p.m., mostly cloudy with a high near 41. Light south winds will become westerly between 5 and 9 miles per hour in the morning, and the chance of precipitation is 20% on Sunday. Sunday evening, mostly cloudy with a low around 23. Start your work week on Monday with mostly sunny skies and a high near 33, and end the day with a chance of snow in the evening, mostly cloudy and a low around 24. The chance of precipitation is 40%.
Are you looking to get your message in front of a qualified audience through all the noise out there today? Consider taking an advertisement out on Hunterdon Chamber Radio, WHCR, DB, the voice of business. Contact the Chamber today at 908-782-7115 or give us an email at info@hunterdon-chamber.org.
And welcome to Hands Across Hunterdon, Hunterdon Helplines Radio Show here Friday mornings between 10 and 11. It is brought to you by Hunterdon Helpline, and I am Susan Lax, host of the show, and also executive director of Hunterdon Helpline. And we are, for 50 years this year, celebrating that amazing milestone, your call for help. Your first call for help 24/7, 365 days of the year for any challenge, whether it's basic human needs, shelter, mental health, senior services, family, youth services, employment, emergency assistance, suicide prevention, compassionate listening, as well as our own programs and services, which include senior programs for staying and aging in place, telephone reassurance and friendly visitor, our literacy services, one-on-one customized English instruction for adult learners, for both native English speakers and people whose first language is other than English. We also have a work connectivity program matching Hunterdon County residents with Hunterdon County employers. And I'm very excited today because my guest is someone I know quite well. His name is Dr. Howard Lax. Yes, he is related to me by marriage. He's my husband. I brought him on the show for really, if I wasn't related to him, a reason that is quite apropos to the radio shows we listen to on Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce Internet Radio. Obviously, our member base are the members of the Hunterdon County Chamber. They are businesses, but they are also nonprofits like Hunterdon Helpline. And Howard's expertise is in market research with a very particular focus on customer experience. So we're going to talk about how your organization, whether it's for-profit or nonprofit today, can infuse your staff, your organization from the ground up with the tools to make your customer, your consumers, your patients, whomever you provide service to, feel as though that they're engaged and want to come back. So welcome, Howard.
Thank you, Susan. Good morning.
Good morning. And it is a beautiful morning today. So just to give an overview, obviously, Howard, you've been in market research for years, that I know. You've worked for some of the top global market research firms. You have, across the board, have had clients in the 500 realm, the hotel industry, the banking industry, pretty much across the board.
I've worked across a wide swath of industries, financial services, telecom, telco, hospitality, as you mentioned, retail, automotive, heavy industrial, companies that are in both direct-to-consumer sales, business-to-business, and those that are in business-to-business-to-consumer, pharmaceuticals, healthcare. It's pretty much been just about every type of firm there is.
Well, I mean, that's obviously, and I'm trying very hard not to not to have a little nepotism going on here, but that's such a broad array. And when we talk to our audience, and our audience goes in terms of the Hunterdon County Chamber from the mom-and-pop business all the way up, like I said, Fortune 500 companies, is customer experience, I'm going to give you two questions. Is customer experience the same across that board? And then I'm going to probably want you to start with this question. What the heck is the difference between customer service and customer experience?
Some people do treat them interchangeably, but in reality, customer service is a subset of the broader concept of customer experience. Think of customer experience as think about every way in which a company might touch you. You know, service is typically thought of in terms of, you know, one-on-one, direct, personal interactions. Customer experience would include everything from let's use a bank, for example. You think about customer service when you walk into the branch and you deal with the teller. Probably 60% of all customers of banks never go into the branch, however. They don't experience that quote-unquote customer service from the teller. Rather, they have an experience that might be based on home banking, telephone banking, the ATM network. It might just be, their mail. They might interact through the mail. They interact with the bank indirectly through its advertising and a whole host of other medium. They might interact with the bank through third parties. When you think about experience, think about the overall net range of interactions, transactions that you might have, as opposed to service, which tends to be a very important subset, but a subset nonetheless.
So interesting. Obviously, we're inundated with mail, email, snail mail and email and so forth. What kind of experience could I possibly get when I receive, you know, monthly statements, say, from my bank, since you use that as an example? Where is that experience coming in when I truly, as you say, very rarely walk into my local bank, which quite frankly is a block away from my office?
Well, when it comes to the mail, it's hard to leave a positive experience. It's pretty easy to leave a negative one. Statements that are disorganized, confusing, complicated, don't have return envelopes. You can't figure out.
I hate not having return envelopes, and more
it's little things like that that just
more and more we don't have those envelopes included.
You know, in many respects, it's playing defense against disappointing customers. I know it's sexier to talk about how to elate them. You're right, it's awfully hard to elate someone with a mortgage statement or a credit card bill. You know, it's hard to thrill them unless, of course, you're going to have it open up and champagne flows out and it says, surprise, you don't owe us any money this month. But, you know, that's not going to happen. But it's easy to disappoint them. It's easy to confuse them. It's easy to annoy them. It's easy to inundate them. It's easy to make it illegible. It's easy to make the type font too small so that anyone who doesn't have 20/20 vision, you know, has to go find someone to, you know, or a magnifying glass to read what it is they owe.
Or their readers.
Right. There is a subset of customer experience work that deals actually with something called UX, user experience, the experience of someone using something like a return envelope or an opening of a package or a telephone interaction system.
So, I mean, that's really interesting because, like I said, you hit my pet peeve in not having the simple envelope in there. And I get that companies are trying to save money. So by not putting the envelope in or by, extending, and we'll use again banking, internet opportunities and so forth, how can I feel that my bank that I have chosen is any different from the one that I haven't chosen? And if I understand that they're cutting costs, et cetera, from a market research point of view, what is the value of, or I should say, the return on investment by putting something very simple like that envelope included in the statement? Or does it become so, and I'm going to be the devil's advocate for the business itself, so cost-consuming that it's better to annoy Susan for a moment than to invest in that envelope?
Well, you do raise a valid point. Obviously, ideally, companies can quantify the economic value or the return on the investment of each and every action they take. In reality, that's awfully difficult to do, and we could return to this in a moment or two.
Thank you, because we have a commercial. So stay with us, folks. We're going to talk about some very specific ways in which your business, again, for-profit, non-profit, and we're going to talk about how non-profits actually can benefit from customer experience as well. So right after these messages, we'll be back.
Advancing Hunterdon is an ever-sharp focus on the growth and prosperity of Hunterdon County's businesses. Advancing Hunterdon engages businesses within and throughout the county that are responsive to a call to action as the next chapter in business success. If your business and organization wants to get engaged, contact the Chamber today at 908-782-7115 or give us an email at info@hunterdon-chamber.org. Advancing Hunterdon, a roadmap for economic growth for the business community of Hunterdon. You're listening to WHCR-DB, HuntertonChamberRadio.com, brought to you by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
This is Tony Clark, para-planner at Patton Heidi & Associates. Americans believe they should be in charge of their own future, how they will live tomorrow. Since 1894, Ameriprise Financial has worked for their clients' futures, helping millions of Americans retire on their terms, when they want, where they want, doing what they want. Today, Patton Heidi & Associates, a financial advisory practice of Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., remains true to the vision of always putting clients first. We are ready to help you put a confident retirement more within reach. Put the strength of a leader in retirement planning to work for you through a personal one-to-one relationship. Patton Heidi & Associates will work with you to develop a plan to help you pursue your retirement goals. Call today at 908-713-6600. Office is located at 1318 Route 31 North, Annandale, New Jersey. Investment advisory products and services are made available through Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., a registered investment advisor, Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., member FINRA and SIPC.
Everybody over there!
Get on up!
Everybody right there!
Get into it!
Everybody right there!
Get involved!
Everybody, you!
Did you know the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce has over 20 active committees that you can participate in? Committees range from focus on business and government to economic development to events like our annual business expo. Contact the Chamber for more information today at 908-782-7115 or email us at info@hunterdon-chamber.org. The Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
And welcome back to Hands Across Hunterdon, Hunterdon Helplines Radio Show, here every Friday morning between 10 and 11 on the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce Internet Radio Station. I am Susan Lax with Hunterdon Helpline, your host of this show. And we are, of course, the first call for help in Hunterdon County and as well as for Somerset County for shelter. We will provide you with assistance 24/7, 365 days out of the year. Please give us a call at 908-782-4357. Again, that's 908-782-4357. Your first call for help any time of the day or night, any challenge you are facing, let us navigate the community for you to find you the best holistic solutions to those challenges. And we are back with Dr. Howard Lax, who is a market research customer experience guru, if you will. You can certainly read many of his articles on his LinkedIn site. And some of them are actually, again, and I've had this disclaimer in the first show, yes, I'm related to him, so I want to keep saying that. But I have found a lot of your research, Howard, fascinating. We were talking about customer experience in the first segment that's not necessarily face-to-face. So why don't we talk about it now? Because, again, it's sometimes that customer service is confused with customer experience. And one of the fascinating articles I've read is about the hotel experience, that we feel as though that customer service that we get is one thing, and yet your article points out that the consumer actually doesn't have very high expectations. So, you know, yes, we want the room clean, but do we want to be compensated when something goes wrong versus is it more important that we get our money back, or is it more important that we have the basics? What are the basics? What can one hotel do to, again, provide a different sort of customer experience? And again, moving away from that service, because, of course, I could call up the concierge and say, I want this. If he says, okay, great. But the experience for my weekend there is something a little bit different.
It's hard to say, even within just a simple sector like hotels. I shouldn't say simple, a single sector. it's not as if there's a one-size-fits-all solution for every hotel. I mean, you have hotels at every price point, from Motel 6 to the Ritz-Carlton and beyond. You know, there's a whole lot different set of expectations when one is paying $50 a night for a room versus when one is paying $500 a night for a room. So it's not as if, the hotel just needs to do this one thing. I mean, the reality is that each and every business needs to deliver the experience that at least meets the minimum expectations of what their customers are paying for. And it does vary by price point. I mean, you know, make no mistake about it, people walking into Nordstrom's or Lord & Taylor have a different set of expectations than when they walk into Walmart or even Target. You do have a set of expectations based upon you know, what you are paying in part, which makes it very, you know, there is no magic bullet. If, to the extent there is a magic bullet, it's a pretty high-level one, and that is creating an aha emotional bond with the customer. But, you know, that sounds, to the extent that there is a single bullet, that's it, but how do you do that is wildly varied depending upon the business model, the cost, the nature of the customer, what the interaction is. You know, you go, when you travel to a hotel, people's expectations are different when they travel for business and it's being comped by the company versus when they travel for pleasure. Are they traveling alone? Are they traveling with family? Where are they going? You said simply call the concierge. Well, you know, depending upon the price point of the hotel, there is no concierge. You know, there might be some night watchman who picks up the phone half asleep if you call for something in the middle of the night. On the other hand, if you call, you know, a high-end property, you could get anything you want in the middle of the night. So there's no one-size-fits-all answer to that question.
So if I'm a company and I'm offering a certain widget, whether it's a service, a product, what have you, should I care? For instance, a big box. I mean, obviously the price point is getting the customer in for the lowest possible price. A Walmart's going to compete, you know, with a Target or another big box company. Is there any room in there for that customer experience, or is that when the business owner says, this is what I want, this is what I how many widgets I want to sell, and so I don't have to go down that road? If I offer that least expensive product, I know I'm going to get my clientele.
Customer experience is a business strategy. It doesn't necessarily mean to be everybody's business strategy. I mean, people talk about it like, you know, you pick up 10 annual reports from any 10 companies. I guarantee you that 7 or 8 of them will tell you how customer experience is part of their strategy. Some of them, quite frankly, are just, you know, blowing smoke. They're saying they're into customer experience, but in reality, all they're doing is, you know, business as usual. There's nothing wrong with, you know, being the lowest cost competitor as an alternative strategy. Obviously, strategies are not mutually exclusive. It's not as if you just do one thing. Other firms have a location-based strategy, and they just want to blanket the landscape. I mean, you know, McDonald's almost never go out of business. I could think of one that I ever recall going out of business. If you remember, it was someplace in Richmond when we lived in Virginia, and it was astonishing that they went out of business. And the reason for that is because, you know, McDonald's is first and foremost a real estate company. Pick the best location, and they could be selling mud pies, and they will stay in business. Customer strategy, customer experience is a business strategy. It's not a how-to-reduce-cost strategy. You said the big box store. 95% of the revenues of almost any business in 2020 will come from their customers in 2019. Retaining customers, getting them to buy more stuff, more expensive stuff, to refer others, that is the key to growth for the overwhelming majority of businesses in this country. So to the extent experience or customer experience keeps a sticky relationship, it's good. To the extent that it doesn't create that stickiness in the relationship, then it's not paying off.
So that leads to my next question. What is the difference, or how do they work in tandem between customer loyalty and customer experience? And do you need the customer experience in order to attain the customer loyalty so that the people in 2019 are again going to be customers in 2020?
Loyalty is a more overarching relationship concept. Think of loyalty as the level of engagement or attachment you have to the brand or the product or the company. The experience, you might have 1,000 interactions. That's a lot, but you might have if you're an Amazon customer and you're a Prime customer and you frequently shop their wares, you literally might have 1,000 separate, discrete interactions with Amazon as a brand over the course of the year. Each and every one of the interactions you have with a firm can either reinforce the relationship, it can undermine the relationship, or it can be a yawner and be totally irrelevant because it's fleeting. The yawners tend to be pretty neutral, and they're pretty prevalent. I mean, how many times do you remember going to an ATM and, thinking anything about it other than as a strictly functional interaction? You go to the ATM and it says, sorry, we're down. You're ticked off and annoyed. If you went to the ATM, TD Bank did this about 2 years ago in a couple of branches. They had people, they put people inside the ATM. And when someone went up to the ATM, every, 10th or 100th customer, the person came out from inside and I gave him an award or something, $100 or something. I mean, if that happens, you really remember that. But in general, an ATM is simply a functional interaction, and it tends to be isn't sticky. Many interactions are just that. They are totally fleeting, and they leave no residue.
So what happens if I'm thrilled that somebody popped out of the ATM, embraced me, gave me a, free movie?
I think they gave him a $100 bill.
I was going to say a free movie ticket. I'm cheap.
I think they gave him $100.
I'd love the $100 bill. That's a lot of movies. So what happens if I'm engaged, it's wonderful, et cetera? When does a business have to decide that they're not going to do that, and they've created an expectation that they don't continue? How adverse is that on their customer loyalty?
Well, I mean, obviously no one really expects someone to jump out of the ATM, even if it happens to them once. If you create an expectation, not to get too gobbledygooky here, one of the fundamental concepts of behavioral economics is that it pains people more to have something they expect and are accustomed to taken away than it actually thrills them to give them something that they didn't expect in the first place. The cost, the perceived cost to the consumer of losing something is immensely painful and is very sticky. So when customers are accustomed to enticement one offers regularly, if that is taken away, that is a perceived huge cost. I don't have a very good example coming to mind. I mean, if Doubleday, for example, which is, made itself famous for giving warm cookies when people checked into the hotel. Not Doubleday, Double Tree,
because I like those cookies.
There
was a choice between a cookie and an apple.
Having done that for, maybe 15 or 20 years, if they were to stop doing that, it would be a perceived cost that would be highly adverse. If you never did it to begin with, people don't necessarily expect it.
We're going to take a break and come back with Dr. Howard Lacks on more customer experience and how does one integrate that into their business, large or small.
USA Radio.
Stone in custody at his home in Florida early today. He now faces a seven-count grand jury indictment that accuses him of obstructing an official proceeding, making false statements, and witness tampering. Stone expected to make his first court appearance today. Two deadly shootings to report on as four people were killed and another has been hospitalized after a shooting in North Georgia that included two different crime scenes in Polk County. The shooter at last check was still at large. Last night, three people were killed and two others wounded when a man on a shooting spree at a Ramada Hotel near Penn State University later took his own life. This is USA Radio News.
The backyard's looking great, Rob.
Thanks, man. I was planning on adding a tattoo.
Know any good contractors? Why don't you just ask HomeAdvisor?
HomeAdvisor.com.
You just tell them about your project and they match you local pros and give them the job.
Nice.
Now, how much does it cost?
HomeAdvisor is totally free to use. Plus, you can read custom reviews, check pricing, and book appointments for free.
What's the website again?
HomeAdvisor.com. Or just download the free HomeAdvisor app.
Now you can fly anywhere in the world and pay discount prices on your airline tickets. Book a flight to London, Paris, Madrid, or anywhere else you want to go and pay a lot less guaranteed. Call the International Travel Department right now at Low Cost Airlines.
800-215-5141. 800-215-5141. That's 800-215-5141.
The weather forecast today begins with mostly sunny skies, a high near 36 degrees, and westerly winds between 8 and 14 miles per hour. Tonight, mostly clear with a low around 16 and westerly winds between 3 and 7 miles per hour. On Saturday, we have mostly cloudy skies, a high near 30, and southwesterly winds between 3 and 6 miles per hour. Those mostly cloudy skies continue into Saturday night with a low around 21. Sunday, a slight chance of rain and snow showers before 1 p.m. with mostly cloudy skies and a high near 41. South winds becoming southwesterly between 5 and 9 miles per hour in the morning with a chance of precipitation at 20%. And in this evening, mostly cloudy skies and a low around 23. On Monday, we have mostly sunny skies, a high near 33, and we'll wind down in the evening with a chance of snow, mostly cloudy skies, and a low around 24. The chance of precipitation is 40%. We're back with Hands Across Hunterdon, Hunterdon Helpline's radio show here Friday mornings between 10 and 11. Brought to you by Hunterdon Helpline. I am Susan Lax, Executive Director of Hunterdon Helpline, and we are celebrating our 50th year, and there's going to be a lot more information on the celebrations to come. We are your first call for help for those 50 years, starting out as a teen hotline, which was pretty cutting edge back then, anonymity for teens to call in and to talk to someone, explain whatever they needed to, ask for assistance, etc., and that very easily transformed into the hotline for anyone at any time, 24/7, 365 days. You can visit us on the web at www.helplinehc.org, helplinehc.org, to see what other programs and services we have besides the helpline. And also, obviously, 24/7, call us at 908-782-4357. We've been here talking to Howard Lax, who is a market research customer experience guru in the field. I say that not because he's my husband, because it's true. Check him out on LinkedIn. Read some of his articles. He's been throughout the country giving lectures on customer experience at various conferences, has worked for many of the very large market research companies, globally, and he's sharing some of his thoughts with us today. So we've talked about customer experience. We've talked about customer loyalty, Howard. What we haven't talked about is market research, and because our listeners may be, and I've said this before, for-profit, non-profit, mom and pop, all the way up to a Fortune 500 company, is market research only for those who can afford it? Is a mom and pop able to perhaps not buy research but conduct something on a smaller level? How does one go about knowing who their customer base is, what makes them happy, and what will, as you said, bring them back in 2020?
Sure. You know, obviously, the bigger you are, the easier it is to afford investments in data gathering. But, you know, small firms certainly do conduct market research of different types. There are inexpensive or even free tools that are available online for people who want to conduct, if they wanted to conduct an online survey. You could do it for free using SurveyMonkey if you have an email address of your customers. Other people might use comment cards. Other people might do qualitative focus groups. They might do one-on-one interviews. That doesn't need to be expensive. It can be. You know, obviously, if you have a single-site store and you are the owner and you work the store, and you're in the store 12, 14 hours a day, chances are you know an awful lot about your customers because you live and breathe the business day in, day out, very up close and personal. You know, it doesn't mean you can't benefit from additional third-party or non-biased information, but there's a very good chance that you are awfully immersed in it.
But if you have, I mean, let's face it, even if you're – and you and I have owned a few businesses and quite diverse businesses, from an art store to a marketing company. You may be there 24/7, but to your point, will that person be clear with you? Will that person say, you know, I don't like this or what have you? Most people don't like saying that, and I'll use the suggestion card as an example. It's great to have it. It's great to show that you care. But how many times do we fill out those suggestion cards or those surveys unless we have a gripe?
Without a doubt, what motivates people to participate in any sort of request for
feedback is a $100 bill jumping out from the ATM.
Yeah, well, what motivates them is offering a carrot or a stick.
Mm-hmm.
You know, people who have a gripe are far more likely to share that than people who, you know, have nothing to, you know, to complain about. People who are related have sometimes also more motivated. I mean, without a doubt, you have all sorts of potential bias when you collect feedback. You know, look at political polling. You have to guess who's going to actually go to vote, who's going to actually show up and actually express their opinion, if they're going to be honest. There is no 100% foolproof way of collecting information, whether it's qualitative or quantitative, whether you do it yourself or you use a trained professional to do it. But your question was, can small firms do it? And the answer is they can. It doesn't need to be expensive. You know, information for decision making is like getting better odds on making it a right decision. You know, there's no guarantee that you speak to the people who actually are representative 100%. I mean, people hear about things called margins of error, right? When the political polling starts, they always say, you know, the margin is X to Y with a margin of error of 5.2% or whatever it is. I mean, basically, there's always a room for statistical error, no matter how sophisticated the work is. But think of it as, can you improve the odds of making a smarter decision? If you can improve the odds of making a smarter decision and it doesn't cost too much, then it's a good investment. I've had clients who I thought were wildly foolish. They would be willing to spend $50,000 to solve a $25,000 problem, which is a horrible investment. I've also had clients who refuse to spend $100,000 to solve what might be a $10 million problem, which was even more foolhardy because, you know, making a smart decision when it's of a sizable amount is you want to reduce the odds of making a mistake.
So when we talk about surveys and so forth, and I certainly feel that collecting the emails, et cetera, trying to put the survey out, we do that as a nonprofit. It's hard when we're providing a service for someone who's in need to get that that robust, honest return or communication. But today, with social media and so forth, some of those surveys are being taken on our businesses without us doing them. If we point to Yelp, Expedia, etc., they're surveying the people who have come to our businesses and saying, you know, rate them, what was the good experience, what was the not. Do you suggest when it is a bad experience, and again, we tend to, although I would say for restaurants and such, people do like giving good reviews for the most part, but when it's a bad experience, should we respond as the business owner, or are we digging ourselves in deeper?
Well, it depends on the response. I've seen instances where the business gets defensive and sort of poo-poos what the customer has griped about publicly. You know, that's a horrible response.
Is the customer always right, though?
The customer's perceptions are always right. Their facts may be incorrect. I'm not saying you don't correct the facts. But, you know, making excuses without apologies is almost always a bad strategy in public. You're much better off, you know, taking a mea culpa. You know, obviously, social media, blogs, on reviews all provide a wealth of available, inexpensive data on your customers. For many companies, however, the number of inputs are far too few to be meaningful. I mean, don't get me wrong, it helps when you or I look up a restaurant and there's five positive comments. But those five positive comments are not representative of anything other than five people. You know, we don't think of it that way when we look at it as consumers, but as a business owner, you have to be careful. You know, chances are it was your aunt and your cousin once removed, plus someone else that lives downstairs from you. And, you know, so they're not exactly going to be unbiased.
What would be if we were going to survey our customers? Say it's, in a small mom and pop or, you know, a small to mid-size. What would be the top three questions that you would ask your consumer?
If you're a small mom and pop and you're not dealing in large numbers of responses, I think the most important thing you could probably say is, you know, what is it that they most like about coming to your place? What is it that they least like coming to your place,
or
that
multiple choice or open ended?
If you're a small mom and pop, go open end, because you're probably not going to get enough responses statistically to quantify them. If you go closed end, and you also want a little bit more depth and breadth. And the third question, might be if your business can change one thing, what would it be? You know, that would make them delighted.
Well, but an attorney would say, don't ask the question you don't want the answer to.
No, the attorney would say, don't ask a question you don't know the answer to.
Oh, that's true.
But this isn't a legal proceeding. This is an effort to learn from your customers.
Do your customers, after providing that survey, do they expect to see any results? Do you have to provide results? Do you have to, even just in terms of what the survey said, but once you take that survey and they don't see any changes, is that detrimental to that relationship?
Well, it depends on how you set it up. I mean, when I work with business-to-business clients, and their clients are very high value and they know who their clients are, you know, I encourage my client in some manner to communicate back to the respondents. Not to tell them that, you know, we're doing everything you ask, because a lot of times people ask for things that you can't do. But, you know, basically telling them, we heard you, we listened, here's what we're trying to do, here's our vision, here's where we're headed, here's what we can and can't do, here's why we can't do some of the things some of our clients would like. It's harder to do that, obviously, with customers, with when you're in a business to consumer. It's hard to get back to each and every customer, and so that's not necessarily really practical.
We're going to come right back after a few messages and hear some more about customer experience, market research, and what you can do to improve that relationship with the customer that you want to see at your front door.
Are you struggling to find the right person to stay in that critical role in your company? Trying to attract and retain millennials? Regional Personnel is your staffing solution. Located in Lebanon, New Jersey, Regional Personnel is an ASA-certified, privately held staffing and recruiting firm providing you with everything from temporary to permanent employees. As ASA-certified professionals, we employ the latest tools and techniques to find, screen, and present to you the best talent that fits your needs. The result? Access to top talent in the shortest time with the lowest chance of turnover. We guarantee it. So call Regional today at 908-534-8113 or visit us on the web at regionalpersonnel.com.
Did you know that 1 in 5 people are affected by mental illness? NAMI Hunterdon is the locally affiliate for NAMI, the National Alliance on Mental Illness. We are all volunteers, and all our programs are free of charge. We offer Family to Family, a 12-week course for families that have an adult member with a mental illness. Another popular program is In Our Own Voice, where individuals who are living with mental illness discuss their challenges and their progress in overcoming those challenges. Another course we offer is Basics, a 6-week course for families with a child or an adolescent who has experienced mental illness. We also have a monthly support group for families on the third Thursday of every month. Please call NAMI Hunterdon at 908-284-0500 for more information about any of our programs or to join. NAMI Hunterdon, the voice for mental health in Hunterdon County.
Hunterdon Medical Center was started by families for families. Inside our circle of care, we offer coordinated care for your entire family, led by our outstanding family medicine physicians and specialists. Hunterdon Healthcare, your full circle of care. If you need a physician, call Hunterdon Medical Center's Physician Referral Service at 1-800-511-4-HMC or visit us on the web at www.hunterdonhealthcare.org.
Everybody over there!
Get on up!
Everybody out there!
Get into it!
Everybody right there!
Get involved!
Everybody, you!
Did you know? The Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce has over 20 active committees that you can participate in. Committees range from focus on business and government to economic development to events like our annual business expo. Contact the Chamber for more information today at 908-782-7115 or email us at info@hunterdon-chamber.org. The Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
Welcome back to Hands Across Hunterdon, Hunterdon Helpline's radio show, Friday mornings between 10 and 11. Hunterdon Helpline is your first call for help for 50 years. We'll be talking about all our celebrations, as I mentioned before. Your first call for help, jot this down. You never know when you might need it, or a friend, a relative, neighbor, 908-782-4357. Help with any need 24/7, 365 days of the year, including holidays. We are social services for Hunterdon County, and Somerset County after hours when their offices are closed. And we provide programs and services for seniors so that they can age in place, telephone reassurance, friendly visitor. We check in, make sure that they're okay, and we have a variety of other programs and services, including literacy services for adult learners and the compassionate listening, which again is 24/7. So give us a call at 908-782-4357. We're here again once more, our last segment with Dr. Howard Lax. That's L-A-X. Check him out on LinkedIn if you want to read some of the articles that he's written on market research and very specifically on customer experience. We've been talking about how from mom and pops up to Fortune 500s can benefit from the market research that they can utilize to cull valuable information, not just to satisfy the person that walks across the threshold today, but also to keep them coming back. And one of the things that, of course, is Helpline being a nonprofit, Howard, we believe in customer experience too, because quite frankly, if we're to help someone and they call the helpline and that experience is not good, they're not coming back. And what does that mean? Economically, socioeconomically, not just for them, but for our area, that they won't get the help that they need, that they won't be on a trajectory towards success. So even for nonprofits, what can we do? What can we look at internally to make sure that the people who come from us feel comfortable, have a good experience, and will continue to reach out to us? When reaching out when you're homeless, when reaching out when you are financially strapped, can be embarrassing, there's stigmas attached, et cetera, et cetera.
Well, most of the work I've done with nonprofits has dealt with the money coming in side of things, as opposed
God
to
knows,
money going
in
out.
Order to be, give that customer experience, we have to have the money.
Well, that's
and that's a fact of life.
You know, nonprofits are unique, obviously, in that sense. But, you know, most, when you think about your donors or contributors, you know, that is where most of the focus on the experience is. But, you know, someplace like Helpline, where the recipient is not the payer, is a completely unique type of situation that is not, there's no parallel for that in the business sector. And, you know, you're sort of doubly hamstrung, right? Nonprofits are perennially underfunded and operate on shoestring budgets that make delivering services remarkably challenging, let alone delivering services that are a positive experience, particularly since the large majority of people coming for services are coming under adverse circumstances to begin with.
So you bring up the donors. How can we keep them coming back?
Well, think of the donors as your quote-unquote paying customers, if you would. And, you know, the work I've done with those types of firms is really, it's almost no different than the type of work you do with a for-profit company selling services. You're selling the donor, quote-unquote, on the value of the service or goods that you're providing, even though, in this instance, the donor is not necessarily always the recipient. For some nonprofits, they are. I mean, if you're AARP and your members are paying, they're getting services. That's an easy one. For, you know, the American Cancer Society or for Huntington Helpline, the donor is not typically the recipient. The key is building that sense of emotional connection that is not different, really, for a regular paying customer for a, you know, a for-profit business. It's that emotional connection that is really the key. It's not just the functional description of we do this work. It's humanizing it, personalizing it, creating a bond. You know, again, you know, to harken back to what I said before about behavioral economics, what people remember is absolutely the key, not what they forget. What they forget is largely irrelevant. And you could basically make the case that if someone forgets the interaction with your company or your nonprofit, the interaction doesn't matter. Good, bad, or otherwise, it's irrelevant. What matters is what they remember. And what triggers memory is an emotional connection, an emotional stimulus. And that's the same whether it's the supermarket, the car dealership, or helpline. The emotional connection is what sticks to people's ribs and creates a memory. The same exact event will affect different people differently.
Well, we often run into the problem that and I'm glad you brought up the American Cancer Society versus Helpline. We find that donors generally tend to, because of their own personal experience, donate to the organization that in some way is linked to the challenge that they or a neighbor, or a loved one, et cetera, has faced. So, for instance, if someone in the family has cancer, they're going to give to the American Cancer Society. We see this in obituaries, for instance. Hospice, because hospice obviously took care of their loved one. It could be even the SPCA because the person loved animals. So can we combat that when we have an organization and reach out to donors who may not have had that experience and still engage them? I'll give case in point of the celebrities who suddenly become a spokesperson because they have been faced personally. Yet how do we engage that person to give to something that they haven't yet been affected by?
You know, you raise a huge point, not to belittle any charitable activity, but the reality is it's easy to give to a charity that touches something that affected you personally or your family. It is much harder, yet far more truly altruistic in the most humane philosophical sense, to give blindly. I mean, we reinforce charitable giving by giving people a tax deduction. Again, not to belittle when people take a tax deduction, but the truest form of altruistic charity would be one where someone gave without any personal remuneration in terms of a tax savings or even in terms of recognition. But, you know, we're human, so people crave that recognition.
So part of the experience is when a donor, and again, I want that donor to come back next year, part of the experience for that donor is applauding him, giving recognition, saying the thank yous, making it more than just writing the check, giving him the experience, as you say, that is unforgettable.
And it's especially hard when you're dealing with, you know, it's one thing dealing with the elderly. You know, people do have elderly parents often. It's a very different issue when you're dealing with the homeless, which the large majority of middle class and upper middle class or affluent households only know about through reading on the news or seeing on TV.
So we have 1 minute left, and I have to somehow encapsulate this very important part. We are looking in Hunterdon County at economic development. What can the retailers here, the ones who are existing or the ones who want to come in, when we are living on the internet as a consumer, any last words for retail here in our area that could bring a consumer base either back to them, retain them, or bring them more customers?
You know, small town downtown is immensely challenged everywhere. And the ones that are successful are the ones where it's, you know, people actually go for the experience downtown. So if you go to if you go to Lambertville or you go to New Hope, it's fun to be there. And oh, by the way, you walk into a store. You know, with all due respect, it's not fun to go downtown to some areas. So you don't even randomly walk into those stores. Now that creates a monumental challenge because almost no single store in and of itself is going to create that fun that's going to pull people in.
Well, on that note, I'm going to give a shout out to our Flemington Community Partnership, which is trying to do that right here in Flemington, as well as our Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, who's also on the ball with economic development, as well as our freeholders. So we've been talking about customer experience, and the final word from Dr. Howard Lacks is make it an experience, an unforgettable positive experience. Thank you for tuning in to Hands Across Hunterdon, and coming up next is Home Sweet Home. Hopefully you will join us next Friday at 10 o'clock as well. Have a wonderful day.
The news is sponsored by the Hunterdon Medical Center. Hunterdon Medical Center was started by families for families. Inside our circle of care, we offer coordinated